Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by BlackRifleCoffee.com. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink. Drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. We are going to do something tonight that is rare for us. We don't do too many serious shows, but this is one of those times in our nation's history where we've gotten a lot of emails about the same subject over and over and over again, and we thought we would address it. Tonight's issue is immigration. In particular, families getting separated at the border and what's going on and why this is happening. I've seen a lot of news being reported in the media that seemed, to me at least, and to members of our show, that was unjust, that was unfair. A lot of these pictures that are being spread across social media are from 2014 of kids in cages or kids in tinfoil blankets and things like that that are now being brought to light now, and they're pinning it on the Trump administration when, truthfully, this is going on. That was going on in the Obama administration. And if we're being totally fair about it, it's been going on for the last 20 years. So it wasn't just Trump. It wasn't just Obama. It was both the Bushes. It was Clinton. This has been happening for a while. However, with the way that social media works these days, it has become a wildfire, essentially. You put one thing out there and it catches. Congratulations. It will be a total fucking complete meltdown of houses, relationships, you name it. And this is the big one right now. This is the hot button topic. And what I tried to do on this show and Ross Patterson Revolution was reach out to some Border Patrol agents and say, hey, would you be willing to come on the show? Both shows in particular, I would say the number is currently around 5 or 6, where we had people that were currently working on Border Patrol actually saying they would love to come on. And at the last second, they've bowed out of it for fear of retaliation or losing their job. And I totally understand that. Being a member of the Border Patrol, working at our border, or working as a first responder is a complete joy. And those jobs should be treasured. And if you lose that job, it's really difficult to get again. And most of the people that are working in that field are doing it because they truly love it. Let's face it, the money is not great. So they're obviously doing it because they want to make a difference in the world. And the fact that they're being shit on right now because of this really made me angry. So when I sat back and thought about it and I said, all right, great. These five or six gentlemen aren't going to come on. who do we call? And I was like, oh, fuck, man. Rocco was Border Patrol. Rocco did this for years. He would be great to have on the show. Rocco's extremely busy, as you guys obviously know. He was on a few shows ago, and we talked about his schedule. And I just said, hey, man, I would love to have you on this show. You were an OG drinking bro from day one. You were still one of us, and we are proud of your success and all of that. We don't know anybody else who was on Border Patrol. We would love to have you on to express your opinion. And we think that you were a member of the drinking bro community that people respect. So what you're talking about isn't fucking bullshit. It's not some whitewashed fucking media Jumanji where, you know, you're kind of fitting pieces in and just making up your own puzzle. And then it might work. It might not work. Or what do you believe? What do you don't believe? I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to get down to the brass of what's really going on. And we knew Rocco would absolutely give that story. It was just a matter of him giving some time to us. He was currently getting his phones replaced. And I said, hey, where are you right now? And he said, dude, I'm in the parking lot of AT&T. Me and my wife and my kids are getting new cell phones. And I was like, great. Is it gonna be a while? Because typically that shit's like fucking 2 hours when you're there, and they're like, "Oh no, no, it's gonna be grind. It's gonna be here for like 15 minutes." You're never there for 15 minutes. You're there for the whole goddamn day. It's like getting a car these days with these fucking phones. That's what happens. iPhones. When your phones are fucking $1,200 a piece. So with that being said, I said, hey, why don't you call me when your lady's in the store? Because you're going to have about an hour on your hands. And you can call me from the car from the other phone before it gets nuked. And he was like, fuck yeah, I'll do that. So tonight's episode is live from Los Angeles. We're live from Rocco's car as his wife is changing in phones. And it's one of the greatest episodes I personally think we've had. And it gets right to the heart of the issue. So when you hear his stories and hear what's really going on in the Border Patrol, hopefully it sheds a little light on what's actually going on out there, as opposed to what the media is saying is going on out there. And I think that is really, really important, and that's getting lost in all of this today. So what we're going to do first is hop into the sponsors, and then we're going to jump onto this phone call with Rocco. But I want to say that we are extremely grateful for Rocco's time and that he would come back and do the show, and especially come back and do the show to talk about such a hot button topic, especially as his Hollywood career is on the verge of explosion. The Mayans is coming out this fall. We've all seen the trailers. It looks dope as fuck. And it means a lot to us that he would take time out of his day and his family to sit in the car and just chat with us for an hour. So let's get to the sponsors, and then we'll hop into the show. First and foremost, we're talking about BlackRifleCoffee.com. Black Rifle Coffee is obviously our chief sponsor, but more importantly, they're our best friends. Everybody who works there is a close friend to us. Obviously, Matt and Jared and Evan are the owners of it, but you know, Logan and Dan and the rest of the guys, Eli and all those guys are all of us are best friends in real life. What you hear on the show is genuinely what you get. And I can tell you personally, watching these guys work and seeing how hard they work on a daily basis is unbelievable. And you know, they were willing to stick their neck out for this show and Ross Patterson Revolution and sponsor it and take it over for all of 2018. And we're extremely grateful to them. Check out their coffee at blackriflecoffee.com. It's a premium roast to order coffee, which means they make it fresh in the house and then they ship it out right to you. They got bags, they got K-cups, and their apparel is second to none. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use the one-time promo code of Drinkin' Bros for 20% off, or you can use Revolution, as in Ross Patterson Revolution, for also a one-time promo code in case you've used Drinkin' Bros before for 20% off. I would highly recommend using it on the Coffee Club of the Month program. That's the best in the biz. It gets shipped to your house every single around the same time and date every single month, which is fucking amazing. And it's about $4 cheaper than Costco. Plus, look, you're supporting veterans. Like the coffee's fucking amazing. Get the caffeinated as fuck or the Just Black. Those are my jams. They got a ton of new other blends, and it's amazing. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off, one-time use. Next up, we've got StrikeForceEnergy.com. StrikeForce Energy, look, man, we've been fucking homies since day ones with these guys. And I want to say this. I know I say it all the time on the show that they're the premier energy drink in the biz, but like for real, that's the best energy drink there is right now, and I use that shit in everything. And I'm glad to see them blowing up in the proper way that they should. They don't have the marketing dollars of a Red Bull or a fucking Monster or any of that bullshit yet. They're kind of doing this this grassroots campaign. We've been with them since day one. But yesterday I saw Sean Mattson, who's one of the owners of Strikeforce, in Forbes magazine for changing the fucking game as far as the energy drink business goes. And I was stoked, man. I mean, fuck, we've been doing this show for close to 3 years now. They've been our sponsors since day one. And it's fucking awesome to see this company explode like this. So I just want to give a shout out to them. They have four amazing flavors: original, lemon, orange, and make America great again. They got a 10 pack, a 40 pack, and a 750 milliliter bottle that sits on your bar top or countertop. You can just boom, boom, pop a couple squirts in and go. And, again, another veteran company, man. Sean was a Navy SEAL, and this energy drink is the shit. I literally drink the fuck out of it all the time. So that's no bullshit. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use the promo code DRINKINBROS for 20% off. And that's good every time. By the way, this shit is cheap as fuck there. It's like 99 cents a packet. So just try a 10 pack and tell me if you're disappointed. I guarantee you will not be. Next up, we've got my new book, When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It. It's the sequel to At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. Everybody's asking, is this one funnier than the last one? Yes, because I'm being real fucking honest tonight. Typically, I'm not like this. I'll tell you why it's funnier than the last one, because I didn't have to worry about what a publisher thought. My contract was pretty tight and strict on the last one, so I had to care, and there were certain things that I could and could not do, and I still pushed it real fucking goddamn hard. I mean, to the edge, where it came down to the last day of, like, whether or not that book was going to come out. It came out, it was cherished and loved and all that other shit, and the reviews were great. So on this one, they had a 30-day clause to pick it up, and there's nothing they could fucking do. So I went harder, doubly, than the last one, which is almost goddamn shocking. You'll know when you get it because Harriet Tubman's on the cover. Why am I asking you to get this in hardback? It's simply because that is the best way I can get on the New York Times bestseller list. Please, please go out and pre-order this hardback. We're about 40 days out. All of these numbers for pre-sales count towards opening week sales. That's pretty much the only way one can make the New York Times bestseller list, unless it catches fire later. But it starts over after a week, so you got to make the same numbers again. However, the first week is all pre-sales, and that's all that shit counts for. So please, please go out and support me and pre-order When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It. Go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, all that shit. But Amazon's usually the biggest go-to. Next up, we've got GhostBed.com. GhostBed.com. Sleep so good, it's scary. You're goddamn right it is. Goddamn right it's scary. GhostBed.com/DrinkinBros is exclusive to you guys. That's where you can find the best deals on mattresses. You will not beat this across the internet or on Amazon, actually. GhostBed.com/DrinkinBros is specifically for you guys, and it's giving you the best deals on the planet, where I think the first deal is $100 off a mattress and two free pillows. The next one's like $200 off and like free sheets or whatever. They've even got a Craftmatic adjustable bed that it's got like USB ports and flashlights and all that shit. It's fucking incredible. And there's a combo package on there that's giving you $400 off, and it's a pay-as-you-go plan. So you don't have to buy all the shit up front where you're like, oh, fuck, I don't want to buy $700-$800 mattress or whatever the fuck it is up front. You don't have to. You can make pay-as-you-go plans, and it's fucking amazing. They ship it right to your house. You open it up, and that's it. You're done.
Same with the Craftmatic part. So let's just say you just order the Craftmatic part. Boom, you're done. You open that shit up, you're fucking done. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros and get a mattress, man. You'll feel great about it. I have fucking two of these goddamn things in my house. I love them. I love their company. It's amazing. Next up, we got Grill Your Ass Off. Grill Your Ass Off is another veteran-owned company, man, that's... look, I would say I got familiar with these guys probably a year ago, and it was through Instagram, and it was just like casually passing through, and then I started following them. I call it meat porn because they were just posting like the most amazing like barbecue grilling shots from all of their events, and I was like, fuck, man, these guys are dope. And then one day they hit me up. I liked one of their things, and I wrote a comment, and I was just like, yo, man, I fucking love your site. It's fucking amazing, blah, blah, blah. And they hit me up and they were like, hey, man, we love Range 15 and Drinker Bros podcast. Like, we'd love to be a sponsor. I was like, get the fuck out of here. So that is God's honest truth, how we got connected. And so we got those guys on board, had all their chicken, their steak seasoning, all that shit. Crispy Avelia has got a habanero seasoning. And I was like, oh, fuck. All of their seasonings are amazing for grilling. And with that, I was like, you're good. And they were like, no, we're not. We're opening up a line of jerky. Their jerky is the greatest fucking thing on the planet. It's all USA fucking beef. It's straight America up in this motherfucker. And there's four amazing flavors of the jerky. There's salt and pepper. The sweet and the savory are spicy is my fucking personal favorite. They got cowboy and they got a ridge. There's a 4-pack for $25. Get that. I keep ordering that shit because I keep eating it all goddamn day long. Go to grillyourassoff.com. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros. You get 15% off. Try that fucking jerky, yo. They have also got a subscription of it, which I just signed up for because I was like, how much jerky am I going to eat? I gassed through that shit in like 2 days. And I've got a subscription now. So try it out. Let me know what you think. It's my favorite. God's honest truth. Next up, we've got GrenadeSoap.com. Incoming! Grenade Soap is keeping those private parts super, super clean. Grenade Soap is made with real gunpowder. A lot of people have asked, like, hey, man, is that real? Yeah, it's fucking real. Go to the website, order their fucking soap. It's got real gunpowder in it, and it smells delightful. It's one of those things, like, as a dude, where you're just like, man, I'm tired of using my wife's loofah and whatever fucking bullshit sponges or scents she has. Like, I just want a fucking dude smell. I just want to smell like a goddamn man. GrenadeSoap.com is where you get it, man. And they've got bathing products for dudes. Look, if you're a woman out here listening to the show, the shit's not for you. I'm gonna be real with you. They got a taint scrubber. They have that old shit mitten. Because when you're scrubbing your nethers, your regions, you need a little something extra for your parts. Go to GrenadeSoap.com for all of your man bathing product needs. Those guys are doing the goddamn thing right. Yet again, another veteran-owned company. Type in the promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off. Last but not least, we've got Kimber. Kimber, come on. Come on, dude. Go to www.kimberamerica.com. I love the fact that they're Kimber America, by the way. They're just saying, hey, with American Gun, let's get fucking loose and let's do this fucking thing. A guy came up to me in the gym today and he was just like, hey man, listen to the fucking Drinking Bros podcast every single day. I love the fact that you guys are doing Kimber. And the thing he said to me is the thing I always say to you guys, where he's just like, yo man, everybody kept telling me if I didn't get a 1911 from Kimber, like I didn't have a proper gun collection. And I was like, yeah man, same thing. I've got a fucking 1911 from Kimber. And he's just like, yeah, my son told me that. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, my son told me that. He's 19. And I was like, fuck, that's a down-ass dude right there. And he goes, I know. But the fact that him and all of his friends are saying, hey, dad, you're not cool if you don't have a 1911 from Kimber, it's fucking awesome. And it's true. Kimber's great. I love those guys. Love everything they're doing these days. And there's no promo code because they don't need it. They're like, hey, motherfucker, we're Kimber. You're not. We don't need a promo code. We support the Drinking Bros. We support Drinking Bros podcast and the whole goddamn community. So look, our firearms are the best in the biz. And if you don't want to be with us, don't be with us. But if you do, you do. So go to the website and peruse their entire catalog of Kimber firearms. And man, they got some sexy ones. They got this new 1911 that's got the state of Texas engraved on it. It looks like a pearl handle on the website. Check their shit out. It's fucking incredible. And big fans of Kimber. Glad they're on the show. And tonight, I'm glad that Rocco is on the show. Look, he's been one of our best friends, our OGs. We started the show with him, and super grateful that he would join us tonight. And we're super proud of his success. And tonight's one of the greatest interviews I think we've had in Drinking Bros podcast history. So here's me and Rocco live from an LA parking lot late at night. Welcome back, Rocco.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. Good. I feel like I was just here the other day, so it feels good to be back.
You were. Look, fuck. We'd love to have you on every single goddamn episode if we could. You're too busy being a fucking movie star. I keep seeing the promos for the Mayans. This is incredible, yeah, man.
Oh, it's getting exciting, dude. It's getting, every time it comes on, it's cool to see my kids see it and how excited they get. It just, you know, there's a little sense of pride deep in there that says, fuck yeah, man, it's really cool. So I'm excited.
No lie, man. I saw the first teaser, and it was painted black by the Rolling Stones in Spanish, and then all the roses turned into black, and I was like, oh fuck, dude. I mean, yeah. I got chills watching it. I can't imagine what you thought watching it.
Dude, it's just I guess I'm still just waiting for it to come out, and then I think that's when it's all going to kind of sink in.
Yeah, let me ask you, are you nervous of, like, do you start going over in your mind every night what you've shot and wondering if it's going to make it or not?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You want to know, you know, in your head, you're hoping you did the best part, you know, and two, you're hoping it makes film, and then three, that it's received by the viewers. You know, I think every actor, you know, what I've been learning is that you want to be well received. And if you are, well, then you have better opportunities of being a follow-on character and continue on throughout the series. So I'm really hoping I'm just well received, man.
Yeah, and I will say this, like, I wouldn't judge it by the lines or the amount of dialogue you have in a script. I would judge it based on your overall performance, because again, man, finding the camera and the way you look in the background and all that shit during a lot of scenes and your facial expressions will also determine, yeah, like, dude, how far you go. And a lot of people don't know that. They'll look at a script and be like, oh man, I don't have as many lines as so and so. Fuck, I must be fucked. And it's like, that's not always the case, man. They could be,
no,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. You're one emotion can tell the story of the whole scene, and people don't get that. Like, one fucking look can be like, holy shit, there's something going down.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah. And you won't know it until it comes out. But right. there was a character actor I worked with named Bruce McGill, who's fucking fantastic, and he's been in every movie under the sun. He was the one who taught me that a long time ago, and I was like, shit. He also said, he goes, look, if you look at me in every scene I'm in, the reason I've been hired so many times over the course of my career is I'm always in it, whether or not I have dialogue or not. I'm
exactly
always
it.
Acting in that scene. And I was just like, shit, he's right. And
that's exactly, when I get that compliment from some of my counterparts, it's like, okay, cool, I'm doing my job. Because you also want to give them the feeling so they do better at their part, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You always want to be live for them. I'm always every time I say action, I'm trying to do 100% for them as much as myself. And so you know, and the other guys appreciate that shit, man, and that goes a long way.
Yeah, and it will forever. Never forget that. We were talking about Robert De Niro the other day, getting up on top of the, you know, the Tony saying fuck Trump. And yeah. I can tell you personally, like, dude, that guy hasn't been acting with other actors in 20 years. They'll make him, he makes everybody shoot their close-ups, De Niro's close-ups first, and then they'll bounce. So all the other actors are stuck either reading with a script supervisor or a tennis ball.
It's tough, dude. It's
ooh,
tough. You know,
boy.
Like, when he did that, I was like, oh, man. You know, it's funny. You know, I don't post political shit. I try not to jump on that because.
Me neither, yeah.
It's almost the same as like religion. Like, I don't need to tell anyone my religion. It's mine. That's my shit to worry about, right? And same political, that's my belief. You know what I mean? And And I never feel like I want to impose my beliefs on anyone else, because you know, you get the freedom to do whatever the fuck you want. When we have these actors that now are the voices of political agendas, it is a scary world, dude, because I would wish that they would just continue to do their thing as entertainers and entertain and not jump into that world, because for me, it just dilutes it. And it's like, come on, man, don't ruin such a beautiful thing we have in entertainment and making it a political freaking charade.
I know. And somebody asked me about that the other day. They were like, well, look, you talk about politics on your podcast. And I was like, yeah, but it's my podcast. People have to choose to listen to that. Whereas, you know,
well,
if
that's the same as me.
Yeah.
Some dude emailed me the other day, goes, dude, you sound so unintelligent because you cuss every other fucking word. I was like, yeah, that's me. That's my fucking podcast.
Yeah.
And if you were going to sit there at a fucking bar drinking a beer with me, I'm going to cuss every fucking word, because that's me. And that's what I want the people to listen to my podcast. I want them to feel that.
Exactly.
I'm not going to give them some fucking smoke and mirrors goddamn show. It's me.
Yeah.
So it's just it's like when it's my show, that's what I want you to see.
Yeah. And it's hard to describe that to people, where you're just like, hey man, like I'm doing this for free. It's me and a microphone on a stage, and
yeah,
that's it.
Exactly. And when it becomes work, I don't want to do that shit no more.
You know what I mean? Right.
That podcast, you know why I don't put it out every fucking Friday? Cause I don't give a fuck enough to put it out every Friday. Cause I want to make sure what I put out, I'm proud about.
Yeah.
And I'm so busy. I'm like, when you get another podcast, it's because I took the time to do it because I felt like doing it. I don't want it to feel like work. That's why I stopped even worrying about sponsors on that shit, because I'm like, look, I don't want to disappoint you fucking sponsors, but I just want to put out shit when I feel good about it.
Yeah. Or else
it's work.
Exactly. Or else you don't enjoy what you're doing. It becomes a burden, and then the fucking audience knows it, where they're just like, great.
And that's the thing. Drinking Bros podcast was awesome for all of us because it was our time to shut off all the other bullshit and just be able to chill with the boys and bullshit, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I enjoy most about the show still to this day is, dude, that's an hour out of my day, or an hour and a half, or whatever it ends up being, where it's just like, we're just going to talk about fucking nonsense and then move on about our days. Maybe we'll talk about opinions that really matter to us. You know, the reason I called you, you know, to come on the show was simply for that reason, too, of like, man, I'm seeing a lot of shit, and we're getting tons of emails about this border issue that's going on right now. And I've talked to maybe four or five border security or border patrol members, I guess you would say. You'll know the term better than me. And
yeah,
they've expressed interest in coming on the show, and then they've dipped at the last moment. And I was like, well, fuck, man. Rocco was in the border patrol. Like, let's just call Rocco.
Yeah, dude. That's the thing. It's like, I mean, I would hope. It's just a fine line. You don't want to fuck with your career, man. Speaking out on something that's so edgy right now, it's so controversial, they could potentially lose their career, and you just don't want to be a part of that, because that's a great career field, man. It really is. And so it's like, that's kind of why I spoke up and gave – I did a small video on my personal Facebook, not my entertainer Facebook, but my personal one.
Which I loved, by the way. I watched that video, and that's literally – after I saw that is when I called you. I was like, ah, shit, man. Like, dude, this is one guy who gets it, and he's coming from a genuine place, and you have a perspective like no one else will have because you fucking lived it.
Yeah, and then the other thing, I posted on the entertainer page a picture that was from my time when serving as a border patrol agent on the border, and this picture was not me. A lot of guys thought it was me. It wasn't. But yeah, and that's the thing, is like, I wanted them to see there's humanity in what we do. The border patrol agents are honestly have nothing really to do with the argument at hand. Because what a border agent eventually really does is you apprehend him, and you bring him into process, and then it's kind of a handoff to ICE, and then the next, I think the other one, I forget the other one that holds him as well. But that's really the process of what the border patrol has. So the border patrol honestly only has them in custody for, I would say, no more than 5 hours until they've already been picked up and transported to ICE and continue on with the immigration process. And so it's like, people were, I saying, border trading for Nazis or identifying them.
Yeah.
I was like, wait the fuck a minute, man. Like, look, I don't care what you believe in politically and all this other stuff, but like, in the all, if you knew, break down the jobs, there's different job sets for each immigration, I guess, fucking
department?
Immigration branch. Yeah, department, exactly.
Yeah.
So you have Border Patrol, you have Customs, you have ICE. And then you have, I think it's called HSI or something like that. And I can't, again, I can't even tell you what it is. But everyone has their specific job skill sets. And so when people are saying, they're just kind of pinning it on Border Patrol because it's probably the most well-known name out there and the most well-known job.
Yeah.
It hurt my heart a little bit to watch my boys in green getting all shit on when I know what we do. When I've seen that little girl was sent from Guatemala alone with nothing but a paper in her hand and her parents' phone number on it.
Man, what do you do in a situation like that? So, because a lot of people don't understand this. Like Trump talked about it the other day, where he's like, "Look, a lot of these kids are coming alone," and I think as Americans, that's a hard thing to understand because you know you would never leave your child or send your child out alone to do something extremely dangerous.
But you know, what's funny is like we can say that as Americans because we also essentially live a life that is very privileged, and we're blessed to be a part of this, and I would never send my kids into that, but I can say that also knowing that I'm not in a position where we're extremely broke and poor and we live in this poverty, and so like do they have a reason? I obviously they felt they had enough reason to send their kid because they wanted to seek the dream of being an American and everything else. Do I fault them for that? Like, you know what? That's none of my fucking business what they do. I think it's sad, but it's not my kid. So I stay in my lane. But at the same time, it's like, I understand. I guess I can say, it's hard to say. I guess I'm empathetic to the situation. They want their kid to be here in America for the better opportunity. But they're willing to risk their kid's life because of whatever conflicts they're dealing with in their country. Fucking crazy, but you know what? I can't even speak on that because I don't know it, right? It's just not where I don't know anything about that. But I can say this, when they come here across the river and they're by themselves, us Border Patrol agents, we take care of them. We give them the water from our fucking trucks. We bring water with our, in our trucks, we usually bring water just for illegals. There's a whole fucking water bottle in there, a whole water jug,
right?
Just for illegals. If we catch them, We search them, we do the whole thing, make sure we're safe, make sure it's a safe environment. And then we say, hey, get us out. Boom, 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 boom. You start handing them water. And then you honestly only give them a little bit of water because most of them are so dehydrated. You give them one fucking bottle of water, they're puking in your truck because they're so dehydrated, they can't sip on it. They can't drink that much water. And that's a fact. You ask any border trader, you don't give them a whole fucking bottle of cold water. They'll fucking puke because they've been walking for fucking days on end. Dehydrated like motherfuckers. You let them sip on their water. Say, sip on it. Don't drink it fast. You're going to get sick. And then you give them food because if you have it in your truck, you give them it. Who gives a fuck? I'm going to be at the station in a fucking hour anyways. These guys haven't eaten in days. But especially kids, I've carried kids on my shoulders fucking on the way back to the truck to get them into the truck to an air-conditioned vehicle to get them back to the station to process them, to give them a juice, to give them some, to give them a candy bar and freaking in a meal. But, like, the world doesn't see that because they've turned something that's been happening for years and years on end since the Obama administration.
Yeah.
That, and they want to, it's just a weird time right now. Like, I'm not going to say I'm for or against Trump. That's no one else's business. But this, I'm not here to look for reasons why to hate Trump. I'll tell you that much. Because that's what it seemed like the media tried to do here, was just looking for a reason. And I'm like, well, that's not the reason. You missed the mark there because this has been in place since the Obama administration.
Yeah. And a lot of those photos they've been, you know, passing around on social media are from 2014. So with the kids in cages and the tinfoil blankets and all that stuff, like.
Yeah. What happened there, I was in the Border Patrol at that time, Ross. And what happened there was that we had this crazy influx of kids coming across the border. They call it family units. And we could not house them at the rate that they were coming across. It was a fucking invasion, if you will, and using that in light, the term lightly,
sure.
I'm saying they were coming across in record fucking numbers that we had no place to put them. You're not going to put them in a hotel. They still had to do the immigration process. You're not going to just put them out there in the street because they still had to get documented and put through the system. And so you had no other place to put them but in the holding facilities. And you give them a little bed and you're like, you got to wait here for a couple hours. I'm sorry, until ICE picks you up and puts you in better. But then ICE was getting overswamped. They started getting so overran that they started having to create these housings for these kids. It became insane for us in 2014, 2013 and 14. I think it was more in the middle of 14 all the way into 15. it was almost an overrun of illegal immigrant families. Why? That's the question. Was because they knew that there was some kind of loop around the system. If their kids got processed here, if they claimed a political asylum, they can get ability to stay here in the United States of America. Which, again, hey, that if they want to do it that way, that's on them. No big deal. We have to do our part to do our due diligence and see if it's true or not.
Yeah.
But they, this is what happens in immigration from the beginning of time. You find a loophole in the system, you try and beat that, and you try and become a citizen. Okay, cool. Some people get it, some people don't. But that's all that happened. And then people were complaining about all these kids. You know what happens? There's a thing called a notice to appear. I sent you an article about that.
Yeah, I read that article. It was unbelievably fascinating, and it also got buried in the media. Like, no one has shared that article whatsoever except for you.
It's the most accurate article you can find because it talks about – let's not talk about whether it's a good thing or bad thing. Let's just talk about policies that are in place and what – and us as Asians have to uphold them. That's all it is, right?
Right.
You come across the border.
It was 100% facts in there. There was no political agenda, nothing. It was simply stating, here's the process, what happens when you come into the country illegally and what ICE and Border Patrol and everybody else has to go through stepwise in order to process these people and get them on to the next place. And I was baffled, man. I couldn't believe it.
Well, people don't realize, hey, if you're a United States citizen, you cross the border not at a port of entry, you broke the law.
Yeah.
If you go into Mexico and party your ass off in fucking Tijuana and decide like, hey, fuck it, let's cross the border illegally. Yeah, you broke the law. You can't go across the borderline without going to a port of entry. And so it's like, so as soon as someone breaks that law, okay, now you've broken a law and now we have to bring you in to process you. Now, at that time, if they process, say they want to claim political asylum, okay, that's not us. We're border agents. All we do is process you, and we say, hey, they're claiming political asylum. Sounds good. When ICE picks them up, they go ahead and file them an intake, and they decide what their status is. And that will be waited for the immigration judge to determine at that time. But, like, that's what the world's missing. Like, there's a chain of custody that happens, and somehow it got put all on the Border Patrol as if they're the fucking assholes. Like, no, I think the Border Patrols are the best humanitarians you have on the border. We're trying to stop drugs, and we're trying to help families. My job in 2013 was nothing in the summertime in fucking the border of Texas and South Texas was not do nothing but to find lost illegals before they dehydrated and died. We had an average of almost 20-something die a fucking summer.
Man.
Because here's the sad part, Ross. Everyone wants to think, like, these families are getting led across by good people. Sometimes they're just being led across to decoy for drugs to go another way. And so when these bodies get scattered because they don't want to get caught,
right?
Then they get lost in the middle of a fucking desert. Bro, it don't even take a day for any of them to die. And they get so dehydrated and they die and we can't even find them. So I'm out there tracking. And sometimes you come up on, I've come up, Ron Ross, a dead body, a female who was undressed because she got lost her mind. She tried to take off more clothes and spelled out with sticks. Help me.
You're kidding me.
Bro, that's what I'm talking about. But the fucking world doesn't understand. Like, all my job was to try and fucking search and rescue. That's what Borstar is. Borstar was Border Patrol, search and rescue. Search, trauma, rescue. And so I was out there. I'd deploy. I'd find some tracks, and I'd track it for fucking miles all the way to a dead body because they're dehydrated, because they were fooled by a coyote that they were going to be taken to the right place. Instead, they were thrown right into the mix so Border Patrol would chase them. So that was a decoy to open up another location for drugs to get through.
Fuck, man. It's so fucked. I know. In all of these cases, what would you say the percentage is regarding who's coming in for the right reasons, who's coming in for the wrong reasons?
I would probably say it's honestly probably around 50-50, dude. It really is. Like, you do see the mothers and the kids, you know, that are just, they just want to work. The guys that just want to work. And then you see a few that you can tell they have prior backgrounds. You even run their records like, oh, this guy's wanted for murder. Oh, this guy's freaking, you know, like he killed someone in DUI.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's all these cases. It's a 50-50. And with those odds, how can you even fuck with it? You have to snag them all up, man, because you don't want to run the risk of allowing someone in here that doesn't need to be. And that's the hardest part, being Latino, being a Mexican, half Puerto Rican person working that job. I get it. there's empathy that's there. I feel really bad because I understand what they want. But I also know there is a process that's healthier, that's safer, that's done better. Is immigration need to be fixed? I think it does. I think there's got to be – I think we need better education across the border so they would understand how to process the right way. I think that's what needs to happen because they're losing a lot of money paying people to traffic them across the border. But at the same time, if they use that money to apply correctly, they probably get in within a few years legally and actually start the process of naturalization. But again, it's just knowing the process, it's just hard to watch. And so I don't know. It's so dangerous in what they're doing, but they're doing it because they want a fucking better life. But is it worth risking your kid's fucking life? Fuck, dude.
Yeah, and that's what I brought up the other day on social media when I was on Twitter and somebody hit me up about it. And I said, look, there's got to be some responsibility on the parent's side. Like, you're a dad. You're a great dad. You're always posting about your children on social media. I love my child more than life itself. There is no fucking way I would risk any point of separation of crossing the border if I knew that I could possibly lose my child, even for a couple hours, let alone days or months. Like, I wouldn't risk that.
You know what happened back in the day? Like, back in the day of my grandparents, you know, my grandfather would, you know, great-grandfathers, whoever the case was, they would come across, they'd work their ass off, they'd work as a migrant worker, they'd work in these, you know, these really hard jobs for just pennies on a dime, right? And then they would send it back home. You know what I mean? And this was a very common thing, and a lot of immigrants would do this. They'd work their ass off here in America, and they'd send it back home to the family that was safe, right?
Yep.
And for somehow the immigration laws, policies changed, and which made it smarter to try and attempt to get your kids over because your kids can gain either immunity or political asylum or even just become citizens because of whatever case.
Yeah.
And then those kids can apply to get their parents here as citizens after. And so once that kind of system got figured out, that little loophole, I believe that's why you started seeing the influx of kids coming in. That's why you have an influx of people saying political asylum. Like, they want to claim political asylum, but like, that's actually not really true based on what they believe it is. It's actually what we have a list and reasons what countries would be claiming political asylum and for what reasons. And if you don't fall within those reasons, then you don't have political asylum. We won't be granted political asylum. You know, like, people come here because, you know, obviously they come here because their country's probably poor and they can't find a job and all these things, and completely understandable. But that doesn't mean that they can claim political asylum because it doesn't fall within the laws and rules of what that determined. So that's the problem, is someone told them, hey, just go claim political asylum. And they started doing it, and some would get through and some not. And so it became this kind of like, it's the crazy thing how the wave of information happens on the border, because it's really good. I don't know what they use for communication, but everyone finds out the new loophole and everyone starts to push across. And they start using that new that sense, where whether it was the kids at one point, now it's political asylum. Next month, it's going to be fucking something else. And it's just kind of how it happens on the border. It's like these waves of communication. They drop some knowledge on what the next loophole is in the system.
Yeah, because, you know, I find it interesting that a lot of these people are claiming political asylum. But what kind of political climate is going on in a country like Guatemala that prevents you from, like, it's not a dictatorship. It's not a communist country. So,
I don't know. So I know that at one point El Salvadorians could claim political asylum because there was a lot of, I believe there was some kind of conflict going on there at one point, and that was probably early on. That was sometime 2010, I believe, to 12. But again, it has to be something in that country that dictates the reason to claim political asylum. And if it's not, well, just because you want a better life doesn't fit the bill on what they say does. And so that's where people are getting misunderstood. They're coming here from fucking Guatemala, dog. They're coming here from Honduras, and they're like, political asylum. It's like, it's just not how, it's not that easy.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah. It's not you can't just come from any other country and say, oh, political asylum. Like, there's communist countries where you could probably get away with that. But not some of those.
Cubans at one point were able to do that. Remember, they were all coming across.
Absolutely. They were coming in boats, duct taping themselves.
As soon as they landed on fucking United States turf, they can claim it. Boom.
Yeah.
And they were granted.
Yeah, it was called what? The dry land clause, or I forget what the name of the bill was. But
I had a buddy in the military, bro, who was Cuban, who made a raft, and two of his friends jumped off the raft because they didn't think they'd make it, and they fucking drowned to death. And he kept boating away. Eventually, he ends up at the Keys, and he swims his ass while you're getting chased by the fucking Coast Guard. And he lands on sea. Boom. Now he claimed political asylum, and he fucking got granted, and then he fucking went and joined the military and became an Army Ranger.
No
Can
shit.
You fucking believe?
No, I
fucking
can't.
Fucking amazing. Fucking amazing.
By the way, that clause was called wet foot, dry foot. And it was for Cubans. So that's what it was. You hop out, and as long as you're on dry land here in the United States, you're fine. The mystery that it will still, I can't get over, and maybe you can explain this better than I can. Every other country I've been to in the world has such a strict process of when you land there or go to that country, they want a passport, they want ID. And typically you have to fill out a form of what you brought over as far as packing fruits, any type of food items, clothes. And then they want to know what you're doing there. We don't have any of that here.
No, I know, dude. It's a weird thing. I don't understand it.
Yeah, because I mean, look, I've been to France, all through Europe, the Caribbean, like every single country has been like, hey, man, I mean, even in Jamaica, you can't even leave with like a roach or something on you where it's just like, hey, it's Jamaica. No, it's not. You're going to jail. It didn't happen to me, but it happened to a friend of mine. And it was one of those things where I was just like, all right, shit. These countries are really strict. You would never think that until you go there. Why don't we have the same policies as other countries? It just seems insane to me.
You know, here's the weirdest thing. What I think why people have so much hard, like it's so hard for people to take the fact that we have to really protect our borders, not from just illegal immigrants, but from terrorism, from everything, right? People have a problem with it. I believe it's because America's always been based on, like, no one really originated here besides the Indians, besides probably a lot of the Mexicans and the Indians, right?
Absolutely.
And so I think it's kind of the mindset of like, fuck, dude, it was ours before. Why can't we just fucking creep on over? But it's a hard concept, dude. It's a weird thing to understand. Like, the United States is a very young country. And so I think we're still just trying to figure out what is right and wrong, you know? And me personally, being of Hispanic descent, like, I get shit on all the time. People were fucking dogging me on social media saying, you're a fucking traitor, you're a fucking, you know, all this. I'm like, no, man, I'm really fucking not, right? Like, I love my culture more than anything. I believe, you know, I always raise my kids to understand their Mexican culture and their Puerto Rican culture and really never forget where we came from. I wish I fucking spoke fluent Spanish and everything. But you know what? I live in America. I'm a Mexican-American, but I'm a fucking American 100%. That's why I serve this country and I believe in it. And at some point, we do have to protect our borders. Like, we just do. I don't know what that looks like. My sister's like, do you really think we should build a wall? I said, I don't see why not. I don't see why we wouldn't. What does it hurt?
Same,
somebody
yeah.
Wants to come across?
Yeah.
What, you know what I mean? It's like, you're not keeping me in. I'll get the fuck out if I want to. And we're not keeping anyone really out if they want to come in. They want to come in, they're going to fucking jump that goddamn wall. But maybe you do deter some people to be like, you know what? Let's go to the port of entry and do it the right way. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you do. Maybe you save more lives from fucking jumping across and dying out there in the fucking heat. Ross, you'll come up to people that have been out there for 15 days and they're already bones, bro. Just bones.
Oh, boy.
It's like, it's a hard thing to watch. Like I said, I'm empathetic to the situation. I get what they want to do, but there's also like, it's such a risk, man. And they don't know if the trafficking organization they use is using them to push drugs or what. It's just a really ugly, ugly thing, man.
Yeah.
And the world is, you know,
it's terrible. And like, let me ask you this. Is there warning signs on the other side of the border saying, hey guys, here's what you're going to go through. Like, attempt to cross, so there's not.
No, I can't say, I guarantee, I can't say like, I know for a fact there isn't, but I know they try and do it. I think we need to have a better position in educating them. Us as the United States should educate in Mexico, in South America, saying, hey, here's how you can do it legally, and this would be a lot easier process than doing it illegally and hurting your chances of doing it the right way down the road.
Yeah, I just think that that's still more money from the government, and I don't think the government. Yeah, the government doesn't want to put
money we're spending on. You know how much money we're spending on just housing illegal immigrants while they go through their case?
No,
it's insane. It's insane.
I can only imagine.
There are full prisons dedicated just to immigration. They get three hot meals a day. They get free medical. And again, hey, it is what it is. That's the system we provided. We decided to do that as per our policies. But understand, maybe we can rotate our policies a little bit to focus on education instead of prison.
Yeah, and,
dude, I had gotten to prison
this
for 2 years.
Yeah, and again, not to interrupt you, but this was a long time ago, right? Like, this wasn't just Trump. This was
dude. This was when I was a prison guard for CCA. CCA had certain prisons that were just all national. They call them freaking Mexican nationals. All of them was immigration. They would all sit there and waiting for the immigration judge. Some guys are in there appealing their case for years. I'm talking 2-3 years. And they're making money by making these little baskets, and they're selling it at home, and they're fucking got the three hot meals. And they're just there appealing their case as long as they can because they want us. They're seeking asylum. And then it falls through. Nope, they get deported. So then you'll have a busload, like 2-3 big busloads of immigration buses filling them up and sending them back to their deportation, back to their countries. But it's like, those are 2-3 years that we paid for because of our immigration system. And it's so, we're so backed up, we're so overran, and us, our policies, whatever's in place, that's what turns into it, right? That's kind of like the overflow or the spillage of our current policies.
Yep.
Dude, that was in 2007, bro. 2008.
Fuck.
Right?
So you're going back to Bush, like, you know, we've said it. It's probably been this way for close to 20 years. I don't think it gained any form of attention until, you know, 07, 08. And then, you know, everybody kind of forgot about it. And now it's coming to the forefront because Trump is president and everybody's looking for every last little thing that's going on.
That's the only thing that bothered me is like, man, everyone's looking to demonize this dude. Whether you hate him or you love him, it doesn't matter. But don't just look for things to get mad about, blame him, and then later be like, whoops, we were wrong again. It wasn't him.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Because it just looks bad. It's like, that just looks – that shows how unintelligent people are by just pointing the finger and then like, wait, I didn't even research this. I'm wrong. This has been like this for years. Like, yeah, for years. And we're out there doing our best to try and provide the service that we've sworn to. And then we get shit on because – who knows why, right? Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's again, it's one of those things where it's finally come to a head where somebody's trying to do something about it. Because otherwise, you could just let this continue. And, you know, look, I know you're in Los Angeles currently right now. You'll be aware of this when they start taking taxes out of that Mayans money. But you're going to be taxed a lot on that California tax. And you're like, fuck, where the fuck is all this money going?
Oh, bro.
And
we
it's.
I get taxed so hard here. I enjoy it because at the end of the year, I might have a tax return finally.
Yeah, you will. I can promise you that. And again, like I was trying to explain to people, like after living there for, you know, 17 years, they were like, I don't understand why you're not rich. And I was like, well, a lot of my money is going to California taxes, and it's simply to pay for immigration because everybody comes in usually around the California border. Los Angeles is 83% Latino. And, you know, a lot of these people who come to our country for the first time, they've got to learn English. They got to find jobs. You know, some of them go on welfare to get there, you know, while they're going through their hardships and all that shit. But we're, as taxpayers, Americans are paying for that. So
the hardest thing to watch is watching the prison system. If people knew more how, just start looking into the private prisons and watch how much money they make. And that's all based on needs of housing, and a lot of that is immigration, dude, and it's fucking crazy. Because what Trump just signed recently is something that's already been on board for half of the border. In the South Texas border, there's an operation called Operation Streamline. Operation Streamline, if you cross the border illegally, you're already going to be apprehended as if it's a felony. You're going to be doing jail time automatically. And that's just to kind of hopefully deter people from coming over. Like, listen, you're going to go to prison. You come over, you're going to prison. Fuck you. You come over once, you're going to prison 30 days. You come over twice, fucking 2 years. You come over three times, you're in there for a while. And that's say, stop fucking breaking the laws. Get the fuck out of here. Hopefully that message gets sent down the road so people don't do it, which it wasn't the case in a lot of other borders. San Diego, you could come across 4, 5, 6 times And then finally they're like, all right, fuck, let's prosecute this asshole. He keeps coming. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so now they made it so it's going to be illegal across the board where people, everyone is going to see jail time, which imagine what that's going to do to our prison systems. I guarantee stalking CCA is going to go up. CCA is a private prison facility. It's going to go fucking through the roof because they're going to start paying these motherfuckers more money to house more illegals because how many fucking people are going to come across and have to do jail time? There's no room in the prison.
No, there's no room in the prisons. And I don't know if you heard what happened in the last couple of days, but they're now telling military bases that they've got to take them and house them. So they're going to.
That happened in 2014 with the kids. Military bases were receiving all the kids and watching them at the daycares.
Really?
Yes, dude.
Yeah. So recently, as of 48 hours ago, San Francisco, they're going to start housing some of them there. And then down by Camp Pendleton in San Diego, they're going to start housing them there in some form of tent city format is what they're going to do.
I'll tell you this, man. This is an issue we're going to have for many, many years. This isn't the downfall of America. This isn't, oh, my God, here we go. We're all crumbling down. No, this is just one other issue that we have, and somehow we need to figure out a policy that's going to be beneficial. The illegal immigrants are not going to be happy because it's not going to be easy to come across. Sorry, for any immigrants to come across, it's not. There's a process, and it's going to have to stay that process. Does it need to get fixed where it's probably a little bit more streamlined for the people that have good records and want to come here and show they can provide? Why not? But again, that's so much. There's so many layers to that shit that I don't understand it. I just think, like, this is just one of the issues for some reason got highlighted to fucking bring light to a situation that should have been fucking highlighted 15 fucking years ago.
Yeah, and the other thing about it that I found striking, and you can tell me if this is true or false, is that only 30% that are coming over from the border are actually Mexican. Is that true?
Yes.
It is true.
Yeah, and it might even be less. If you look at those numbers, it might even be less, because I remember at one point it was somewhere around 20%. Because
you got
Mexican, and then you got other than Mexican, OTMs. And OTMs, dude, the deportation is obviously twice as expensive because you have to send them all the way back to their country.
I never even thought about that. That's crazy.
Yeah, and so a lot of these people are coming from way down south. They're jumping on trains, riding to the top of the trains for days, get close enough to Mexico, walk all the way up to the border.
Man, that's almost unbelievable to hear, where you're like, man, I can't believe it. Well, look, you being a Mexican American, how did your parents get over here? If you don't mind me asking, how did
your family get here? No, it's cool. My great grandfather crossed early on. He used to break horses for the army back in the day, and he came across back at a time that wasn't really this border issue. It was just kind of. But they're all from El Paso, right? So they're in Juarez, and it just kind of creeped over and. Eventually, they kind of settled right there in El Paso, and that's how they came across. His next kid was a citizen. You know what I mean? My grandfather was a citizen when he was born because it's just by the fact of my uncle came across and was training horses and stayed here.
Gotcha. And what year was that?
Oh, fuck. I can't even tell you, bro. I can't even tell you.
40s, 50s, somewhere in there?
My grandfather is somewhere around 90-something when he passed, right? So
wow.
And then so it was probably 150 years ago, 160 years ago.
Shit. Well, back then there was no border. Look, we didn't have any of this shit now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then my grandmother, crazy story. She actually took the identity of her sister, who her sister was born in America and she wasn't.
You're kidding.
Her sister died at a young age and her parents said, fuck this. Here's your new name. Get out of here. Boom. She's an American citizen.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
That's
a fucking honest to God story right there, dude.
That's some cold-blooded shit. Look, you're staying here. Here's the thing. You're now your sister. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, your sister passed away, and we're sad, but now you have a life in America. Bye.
Holy shit.
Yeah, but that's how – I mean, think about it, dude.
Yeah.
75, 80 years ago, you wanted to be here, bro, because you knew this was the place.
Oh, look, 100%. To me, it's still the place now. And it's not that I don't understand people who are trying to cross to have a better life or what their idea is of a better life. But, you know, you take the little girl who was on the cover of Time with Trump that they, you know, they cut out the other day. And then they found out.
They embellished.
Yeah. That they found out 2 days later. They were like, oh, she was actually never separated from her mom whatsoever. And the dad had a great job in Honduras and was just like, dude, I don't even know why they left. Like, we were doing great here. So It's a strange circumstance where you're like,
yeah. Hey Ross, I gotta wrap this up. I am so sorry, dude. I gotta head back inside and finish up this process of my new phone.
No worries, man. Hey, while I got you here, as always, you know the drill. Who's your drinking bro of the week?
I'd have to say it's Kurt Sutter, man. Kurt Sutter is my drinking bro of the week. He was just in the room and saw something in me and gave me an opportunity that forever I'm gonna be indebted to him. That he saw something in me, and I hope that I can repay him tenfold, and I hope I can make the Drinking Bros community proud to see that I'm doing what I wanted to do, and I'm just trying to do justice by it.
Absolutely. And for those who don't know, Kurt Sutter was the creator of Sons of Anarchy. He's the creator of the Mayans, and one of the most gifted television producers we have in our industry today. Rocco, remind the audience where they can find you across all social media.
Yep, go check me out at Vincent Rocco Vargas on Facebook. On Instagram, it's vincent.rocco.vargas. You guys know my podcast is Vinny Rock Podcast. It comes and goes when I have the time to do it. Go check that out. And again, don't forget, I start a barbershop in downtown Salt Lake City. If you're in Salt Lake City, please stop by Throwbacks Barber Company. It's right there at Black Salt. It's 930 South Main, Salt Lake City, Utah. Hit me up anytime, guys. I'll answer any questions you have.
Yes, we love Luke Webster and the boys. We love those products. And we love Will XX. Is he still tattooing there?
He is, man.
Hell yeah. Well, Rocco, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. We know you were extremely fucking busy these days. And we appreciate you stopping by, dude. We love you, buddy.
Not a problem. Thank you very much, guys.
Bye, buddy.